seated. Some words from the psalmist this morning. O Lord, you have searched me out and known me. You are acquainted with all my ways, for you created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, in the life of the church here in Melbourne, we keep Vocation Sunday, an opportunity for us to think about who we are called to be, and to think intentionally about how each of us lives our lives as Christians. Vocation is one of those words that you might hear quite a bit in and around the church, but in some sense it's slipped out of our regular use. You might very well hear someone say, I want to be a lawyer, or I want to be a teacher, but you will very rarely hear somebody say, I am called to be a lawyer, or I am called to be a teacher. But after all, that is what a vocation is, a calling. That is the origin of our word vocation, vocare, to call. As some of you know, I am a candidate for ordination, and so for the last 2 years or so, I have been thinking and praying in a very concentrated way about how God calls. As we heard in our psalm this morning, the psalmist grounds that which we are meant to be within the very fact of our creation by our loving Creator. The truth revealed by the psalmist is that God has created us to share in his overflowing love. Our creation and our vocation are in that sense one and the same, to experience to fullness God's overflowing love, and in so doing experience deep and abiding joy. Discovering a vocation is discovering who we are in the very depths of our being. It is not a static process, but an invitation by God to explore the depths of his love for us, our love for his people, and how we might experience the joy for which he has made us. And so I wonder, what makes you feel most fully alive? What makes you feel most you? What makes your heart sing with joy? What does God have in store for you? Having created us out of his overflowing love, God continues to mould and shape us so that we might experience the fullness of that love. The psalmist's keen understanding that God knows, shapes, and calls us is important as we discover our vocations. The whole of this knowing, shaping, and calling is contained in our service this morning. So too is our being sent out into the world, a commitment to action in this sometimes messy but beautiful world that is itself the product of God's overflowing love. So we were reminded this morning that God knows us when Peter greeted us at the beginning of the liturgy with the words, "The Lord be with you." And shortly we will recognize each other with a proclamation of Christ's peace. Peace be with you. These are the same words that Jesus used when greeting the disciples that first Easter morning. Scared and unsure, Jesus stood among them and proclaimed, "Peace be with you." When we say these words to each other in a few moments, we are recognizing that each of us is made in the image of God, out of the overflow of God's love, and that our reality has been altered by the resurrection. This is the fullness of joy to which God calls us, a joy so real that it overcomes the darkness of death and suffering through the surrender of the very one who knows us intimately, Jesus Christ. And in our reading of Scripture through the first part of the service, we are also shaped and moulded around the witness of God and his relationship with his people. The God who knows and shapes us also calls us. At the very heart of this service, we will gather around our Lord's table to be fed by Christ himself as the very ordinary things of bread and wine become Christ's body broken for us and Christ's blood poured out for us. In calling us to his table, we are reminded of our dependence and brokenness, which can only ever be made whole through him. For we who are many are one body, for we all share in the one bread, as we will say together in a few moments. But why me? Why does God call me? Why does God call any of us? All of us will experience self-doubt as we follow the call of God, wherever that call leads. But the reality is much more marvelous than that self-doubt. God doesn't abandon us in that place. He transforms it as he calls each of us in our brokenness, with all of our doubts and fears and questions. We come in all brokenness and vulnerability, drawn into the heart of God's overflowing love around his table. And as we bring our own love and hopes and longings, we will kneel to receive that gift which we know is everything. And then God sends us out. Having been called and nourished, reminded of his love, God then sends us out into the world. God's love poured out for us overflows still yet more, that we might share it with others. And so towards the end of the service, we pray as we do each Sunday, Father, we offer ourselves to you as a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. But what are we praying in that moment? How are we offering our lives? And how do we still live our callings in the weeks and the months ahead? And isn't it frankly a little bit uncomfortable that we pray to be living sacrifices? Well, yes, but Jesus doesn't shy away from the cost of our discipleship and reminds us very directly in this morning's gospel. Our lives as Christians call us to make choices to follow God's call, even when it seems difficult and the path forward unknown. We are called to abandon ourselves in trust to God, knowing that even though we do not know the way or the journey, God is there feeding us. That the same Christ who showed himself to those scared disciples that first Easter morning continues to reveal himself to us. But again, why me? Why any of us? When Mary, the mother of our Lord, received that visit from the angel Gabriel, who brings God's message that she will give birth to a son, and that that son will be the saviour of the world, we could forgive Mary for being absolutely petrified and slamming the door in the angel's face. Thank you very much, not for me, goodbye. And of course, Mary is troubled by this strange message, this strange and unexpected call. But her response is one of openness and trust. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Recognizing my own call is a constant returning to an awareness that, in serving God and God's people, in offering up my whole self to be with God and with God's people, wherever that might take me, I feel most fully me. The former Archbishop of Canterbury, Michael Ramsay, described the priestly vocation as ultimately to be with him for them and with them for him. To notice and to attend to God and God's people brings me deep and abiding joy. To have a chance to discern one's own vocation is a fantastic gift, and it is a gift that God gives each of us. He gives each of us the opportunity to offer our whole lives, our whole selves, to him. Discovering my vocation wasn't some lightning bolt moment, but in some ways a surrender to God and God's love. If you had asked me 10 years ago, maybe even 5 years ago, what I would be doing today, I could have thought of 1,000 things, but never this. It is unexpected, even scary and daunting, but joyful. Joyful because I too get to say, here am I, the servant of the Lord. Here is my whole self, not as a passive surrender, but an active acceptance that God knows, shapes, and calls us. And here I am, ready to be sent out. As you ponder what your response is, what your vocation is, Never lose sight of that joy which is the very source of your being and the very thing you were created for. It is God's gift. Receive it. So let us offer ourselves to Him who has the power to work within us for far more than we could ever ask or imagine, and to whom be all honour and glory and thanksgiving for ever and ever. Amen.